I know.
Oh, that's hardcore.
Do we have a quorum?
Be careful.
What's up, my...
Are we recording this?
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Oliver Mojica, the Senior Planner in the Planning Division. I'd like to call the meeting of the DERC, meeting of October 8th. It is now 10:05. We can go down the row. We can introduce ourselves, please.
Okay, it's Laura Wiedemann with the Land Development.
With the city. Gary Akers with Land Development.
Is that actually a traffic question? Astro, Water Department, Environmental.
Vivian Caffrey with Albert A. Webb Associates. We are engineer for the Forsyth Dynamic Extension.
Gracie Johnson, Public Works Integrated Waste.
Mike Swallow, Midland Division.
Thank you. We'll continue on to item number one, which is a request for extension of time 1502. It's for the tentative track map 16502. They're asking for a one-year extension. This item will be scheduled for the Planning Commission of October the 21st. And again, it would be for a one-year extension. And Gary, did you have any... Is there anything new or anything that we're going to add to this, or just kind of approve as previously?
Right. The only issue is the conditions of approval, which, if you've looked at them, they kind of probably need some clarifying, to put it mildly. Because the last extension of time that was granted by the city, there wasn't a state automatic extension. There's still a little bit of what conditions apply. But nothing is proposed to be changed. Uh-huh.
So, at the Planning Commission, will we have some kind of clarification on the conditions?
You should have that package
before that.
Prior to the Planning Commission meeting.
Okay, so do we download from city's website or...
I will email you a copy of the staff report. It'll be completed. It'll be distributed on the Thursday before, which is the date...
October the... Thursday before would be the 15th, October.
Yes, on the 15th, I'll email you the copy of the staff report, and it'll have the conditions of approval.
Okay, great.
And on the should I just go?
Yeah.
Okay, the conditions of approval, just to make sure that all your ramps are current and compliant for accessibility.
Oh, okay. Access
rights. Right. Exactly.
Or this, either city or the.
Right. I think on the plans, I think they use the old 205. You just have to bring them up to date. Okay.
Anyone else?
My only concern, I'm from the building division. When you submit for building, you will be obligated to meet the present code, not the past.
Present code.
Okay, so we don't know when you're going to submit. So what I'm saying, that's why I say present. So if you've got two extensions, we're hoping that you submit building plans in the near future, right?
They're not that far yet.
Okay, yeah.
We're not picking door knobs.
That's why I'm saying the present code, okay? So you have to deal with the code that's in that cycle, okay?
But that's not required prior for the map recognition.
No, that's not the
that's like when you submit the building permit or something.
That's in the future, okay? I'm just mentioning it.
Okay.
This item where our recommendation is to move to the Planning Commission. If I can get a motion, please.
Actually,
do you have another question?
One question. And you are aware that before any kind of building permits can be pulled, you're still going to have to get a development review. That will be one of the conditions. Before any building permits.
Yeah, we did check with these are homes and they plan to use the new product.
Right. They're going to change the product anyway.
Right.
But it's still.
So it's a start, like a new process.
Right. The map is going to be active, but the development review obviously has expired. So I think Beezer Homes is aware of that.
But that, for the building the house, doesn't really have a timeline, right? After they record the map.
Correct.
I know that you had some meetings. Did they talk to you about any of the development agreements that you're supposed to file if you don't have all the improvements in place?
Yeah, the regular bonding.
Oh, okay.
If you're gonna record the tracks without constructing it, which most people do, obviously, you're gonna post the development agreement, subdivision agreement, and the financial.
Besides those assessment district, this is just the bond for the improvement for the top part.
And actually, I think the conditions ask that, well, that's part of the reason that you're filing the extension, because you can't comply with all those conditions.
Right.
Prior to the November 18th deadline. So all of those would still have to happen prior to recognition of the track. The assessment districts, the CFDs, whatever those items are required.
So those roads need to get off road.
Well, you have to do it quickly, because have you met with Real Properties yet?
Yes.
All right, that's all.
Sure. Anyone else? Motion, please.
So moved.
Second? Anyone?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Thank you. Next item is pre-application 1508 for the property located at 895 West Mill Street. And there's a request to construct a service station with a convenience store and restaurant with a drive-thru. Along with that, on the exhibits, it's item number 2. If you wouldn't mind passing this around to the... I prepared a response, a checklist, if you will, of the preliminary comments on, the submittal requirements for your conditional use permit application. And that's the handout that you have here. And a particular interest, we're doing the conditional use permit. The environmental review is going to be categorically exempt, so no initial study or that kind of item will be required. On page 2, I put together some a brief little outline of specific requirements as it relates to the project. I referred you to the sections of the development code that tells you what the standards are for, circulation, setbacks, and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. A particular interest on yours, our code requires that the drive-thrus, particularly adjacent to Mill Street, has to be a 25-foot setback from the curb. So, in other words, so your building will have to shift over to the south a bit.
The drive-through portion?
That's correct. Well, the drive-through portion has to be moved. Has to be 25 feet away from the curb.
Okay. You're talking on Mill?
On Mill Street, yes.
All right. All right. So I have to get a dimension on that, or push that a little.
So it looks like you will have to.
Yeah.
Push the building over to the south.
Okay.
And then one of the things that we will need is kind of the on-site circulation as it relates to the truck.
I ran something real quick. If you want to just look at it real quick and see if that's what you had in mind, and then I can follow up on that.
But other than that, I want to provide you is kind of informational in terms of how we will be processing this in the future,
Okay.
of a thing. I also made reference. I noticed on your plan you had a notation that there was a proposed sign right there on the corner of the 215 and Mill Street.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we do need some more information as it relates to that. I don't know how tall.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get
that kind
I just
of thing.
We put it on there just to let it know that's what we're thinking of putting on, and I can get you more info on it.
Okay. And then
is there a height limit or anything on the?
Well, what I did is on page 2.
Okay.
Item number 3. I referred you to the sign standards for those freestanding type signs. So to answer your questions, there are height restrictions and those kind of things, and it's outlined in there.
Oliver, just quickly on
sure.
the truck. Usually we look for the turning templates.
Pardon?
The turning templates on the truck itself.
Yep.
The path is going to take, not just show the vehicle itself on site.
Okay. See if I throw them in my...
And that's part of your submittal when you do your traffic
Okay, you want to see those on there?
Yes.
Yeah, here's, that's basically what...
Yeah, similar to this, but on-site.
Okay.
On-site.
All right, that's what you're looking for on that?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. We just based it on that, so, okay.
And there was going to be a focused traffic study required for this as well?
Okay, would it be a total traffic, complete traffic study?
It'll be actually a focused traffic study. It's not going to be full-blown traffic study.
Okay.
Basically. And then, I know I dealt with somebody in the past back in June.
Yeah.
Eli.
Mr. Farah?
Farah, right. And he submitted a scope of form study.
Right.
And I made some comments on it, sent it back.
Mm-hmm.
I never got it back.
Okay.
So you can move forward.
All right.
So if you want to proceed with the focused study, I need to sign off on it.
All right.
Yeah. So once we do that, then what we'll do is we'll do a focused traffic study, and basically I'll send you some of the requirements that we need, like analyze existing conditions, existing plus project, and then opening with project.
Okay.
It'll be a small focused study, so at least we know how much traffic would be impacted at that intersection.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, is one of the issues that we have is close to the freeway system.
Right.
So I advise you contact Caltrans.
Okay.
And get in touch with them and tell them what you're doing.
All right.
Because, I mean, that is like right there on the freeway southbound on ramp to the I-215.
Yeah.
And I don't want to approve something and then they'll come back and say, we need to...
And with Caltrans, we could be another year.
Or two.
I'll be retired.
If you want, I can provide you some contact information so you can get in touch with them. There's a gentleman by the name of Mark Roberts.
Mark?
Roberts.
Okay.
And if you leave me your card, I'll send you that information.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. I'll get you a card.
Yeah. Oh, sounds good. So my traffic is done, right?
your last official act. No, we got one more item.
One more item. Okay.
Laura, Land Development.
Okay, I just looking over the overall site. I just noticed on your initial design, you are required to do a path of travel from the right of way to the food mart and the restaurant, and also your. Accessible parking needs to show where the van accessible. Just dimension them out, which ones are, which one is van accessible and which one is just a handicap parking stall. Then we were, all of us were looking at the internal circulation, and when the trucks come in, we're worried about them clipping the canopy on the fueling canopy. So if we can go ahead and see that work. And then also the parking stalls to the north, that's kind of a difficult spot to put the parking stalls and have them turn. So if we can go ahead and see that, the turning radius is from the parking stall to come out. So I'm just worried about the length.
Which one you're referring to?
These right here on the north side, by the 215 right here.
Uh-huh.
These look like they're going to be pretty tight.
Okay.
So that area I was looking at, and then, you know, as when you just jumping around, just to go on your the parkway over here, just have it landscaped, that you're required to do that, put that in your landscaping plan. And just all the sidewalks here along the I Street are cracked and damaged, and I need them all replaced through here.
You're basically a note saying that it will be repaired.
Right, I gave you all these.
She has some handouts.
Bunch of handouts for you.
Right.
And then you're going to be required to do a water quality management plan. And before, since the type of use, you have oil and pollutants in it, so make sure it's clean before it gets into it.
Yeah, I didn't hand it in only because it was a preliminary meeting. It's 109 pages, so I have one. I'll get it, on the regular submittal, we'll have it in. And they worked with the soils people. We got soils reports.
Right.
And they worked out, took a conjunction as far as where they're going to take the water and how they're going to, handle it. And that.
Okay, that's excellent. And just make sure when they do their testing, they do a double ring infiltrometer test.
Yeah, okay, I got Byerly. Was the soils people. I guess they're real familiar with, working with the city and so on.
Okay.
And I have Love Engineering on that, so I think we'll be in good shape as far as what they did.
And then if you look over here, your parking stall is 18 feet in depth. Just make sure it's 19. We want to make sure that, he didn't dimension this. I didn't even scale it out either.
It's 5.
It's 5, so if you have a foot, make sure, and you don't have any wheel stops, make sure your wheel stop is about 2 feet, 2.5 feet.
Okay.
So it doesn't encroach further and block accessibility right through there.
It can't go over it, or can't go over the foot?
Cannot go over it. Okay. Yeah, so we want to make sure that there is a 4 foot clearance. And yeah. You didn't show me where you're landing, where the door is at. So I want to make sure that the door, if it opens, it doesn't block that either.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
I've got that on the floor plan. I didn't, you know, so I'll just put it on the site.
And it looks like everything is at Ultimate, your I Street and your Huff Street. This, I want to go ahead and make sure that that's 35-foot corner radius over here and the ramp is up to date. And this looks like it's already pulled back and it's already approved, so you just need to verify that.
Okay.
All your utilities are already undergrounded and everything, yeah. So. But anyway,
okay.
There you go. Nice reading. Okay.
Cool site. Gary, do you have anything to add?
No, additional. It does look like this particular exhibit is not to scale as far as Mill Street versus the drive-through. When you look at that drawing, mm-hmm. the center line looks like the street is. This topo map actually shows it much different than what this portrays it.
Okay, on this grading?
In this 25-foot distance we're talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, here it looks like you've easily got that 25-foot distance there. It looks like there's an issue.
Yeah, that was drawn before we had the grading.
Right.
So I'll
just want to make sure
the two.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we should meet before you
resubmit,
right? This is just preliminary, right?
Right. Okay. Do you have a target on when you're trying to submit? Do you have a target on when you're looking
for? No, well, as soon as we, you know, based on what we're getting here, gathering here today, we're going to get, you know, we'll go right back to the civil and then on my part. And so I'm hoping maybe 3-4 weeks by the end of, let's see, it's October, end of November at the latest.
Okay.
That's what we're shooting for then.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Environmental science, anything?
I'm going to hand you a list of our plan check procedures. I'm also handing you a copy of the food service permit application.
All right.
And that is basically the first step, complete the application. That will help us determine if there's any pre-treatment requirements for the project.
Okay.
Once that's been determined, you'll be required to submit plumbing plans and any other additional information for the project.
All right. Okay. All right. On the plumbing, would that be, if you want a plan check, we'd have to do it all anyway. So that's they'll do a site plan plumbing. We can get that done for you. Okay.
Tracy?
So we'll need you to please show us where you want to put your refuse enclosure so we can approve that location. You'll be building a standard 511 8x15 enclosure.
Okay.
I gave you the detail there. And we're suggesting that it be placed in the parking area southeast of the proposed building and drive-through lane.
Okay.
The other parking area would be way too much traffic. We wouldn't be able to get out of there.
It would be tight.
Yeah.
The whole circulation is tight.
Yeah. So you'll also want to work with land development to modify that enclosure to meet ADA access.
Okay.
So my contact information is there as well. But we'll be interested in seeing where you're going to place the 8x15 enclosure.
Right.
That's
thank you.
All right, building. First of all, we're underneath the California Codes 2013. When you asked about the plumbing, environmental control and the building division work hand in hand to check on any kind of interceptors or anything. Make sure that you contact environmental control for their ordinances that govern. The plumbing code does not overrule here. You have to go to the city.
Do you have your separate code on?
Yes, we do, and I want you to check with them. All right, to learn. Believe me, it's a learning process. I had to learn myself. All right. So then remember that the submittal is separate from the building division.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go down and submit there. Also, that we're a strong enforcer of the green code, that if you have to apply to non-residential mandatory measures of the Green Code. Okay, okay. That's in Chapter 3 of the California Green Code. That will be designating where the dumping and materials are to be used, all right?
All right.
Okay, so also I want you to check Chapter 3 of the California Code for occupancy requirements due to the fact that you have a mixed occupancy, okay? So you want to get that down, being a service station, convenience store, and everything else, okay? So stay within the limits.
Okay.
All right, and that's about it. And Travis has all this information. Albert.
I know.
All right, well, I'll get it to you. The reason I wouldn't give it, I know you won't answer here.
Do you have any questions?
The only one offhand I would have is as far as I'm pretty sure we've been on as far as the parking spaces. Is there?
I want to make sure when they pull out, they don't. Get,
yeah.
Essentially,
I'm
yeah.
just going to ask as far as the numbers go. Are you real stringent on the number of spaces in regards to
your use?
Square footage and so on?
Yes, we are.
You are okay. That answers that question.
And I think if I remember correctly. As you had it laid out now, it's short parking spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of when you're looking at the design, you know, we're going to be shifting the building and things, but if you, when you look at those parking stalls that are to the east there on the top part of the page where the pump islands are, you got to remember that from the, that's still considered a drive aisle behind them. You know,
right.
So you still need your, you know, your 24 feet there.
Yeah, I loved when I put the dimensions in, you'll see they have plenty of room at the back.
Not only that, but you've got to also keep in mind that there may be a car.
Right,
you know,
parked at the dispenser.
At the dispenser kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my gut reaction is that you're probably going to lose a couple of the pumping stations.
Well, that's not good.
Well, that's not. Whether it's good or not, I mean, when we look at the circulation pattern, you know, you have to, you know, when you have your turning, you know, your on-site of the fueling trucks,
yeah.
You know, and those kinds of things. I mean, so that's one of the things that we'll be looking at, your turning templates, you know, when it's,
right.
You know, we have to presume that there's going to be customers on-site when the trucks are delivering. And
yeah,
so,
but, I mean, when it comes to the fueling truck, I mean, every station you're around, they do several. They drop when, you know, certain times of day when they are accustomed. They drop at night. They do all in which they can order drops and stuff like that. The truck itself, if you go to a turning station, he's got plenty. If he blocks an aisle, I've got one, two, three. I got three other aisles to use. They just shut anywhere you go, they just shut it down, and the truck's there. They drop their thing and they leave. You know, so
right.
It's not a major issue as far as customers being inconvenienced. It's more of, you know, as long as the truck can get in safely and out. And that kind of thing is, you know, what we look at from that standpoint. If it happens to be a time of day when there's customers, they just, you know, go to another dispenser or do whatever they have to do. Or sometimes some places will just order for a drop at night, and they drop it at night, and they're gone.
So that's what's helpful as part of your application when you submit it.
Yeah.
Kind of the operational,
okay,
plan component of it.
All right.
You know, so we understand how.
Yeah.
How things are going to happen. I mean, you don't just have people going to the, you know, that are fueling. You know, you've got a convenience store, so there'll be people parking going
right.
in there. You've got the, you know, you've got the restaurant. You know, you've got drive through. You got a lot of stuff going
yeah.
on.
But
on
I mean,
that site,
yeah. You know, as far as the fueling, you know, we put the gas far enough away where, you know, if here again, if you just want to get gas, you come in and get your gas. You don't even have to, you know, do anything with the food mart or the other thing. If you're going to do both. Then you have a situation you can either go in and do what you want and get your stuff first and go back like any other, you know, basic thing, or you just come in for the food mart or the restaurant and drive out. So, I mean, you've got a number of options and stuff, but we separated things enough to where there's plenty of easy flow on the property where people aren't going to be running in and conflicting.
And that's fine. You just need to show us that.
Okay.
One more thing?
Yeah.
It's too late.
Too late. Well, do you know whether that site was previously developed?
Yeah, at one time, my understanding was the building back here on the south end of it. There was
okay.
the building there. Because there was an old pad or something that was there.
Okay, the reason why I'm asking is for two reasons. If you already have sewer stubbed out to the PL, And you're not going to be doing any trenching, that's a good thing. But if you have to trench to the sewer, to the main, you're going to be required to go ahead and grind and slurry coat each lane that you you cross over.
Oh, I see.
This, the manholes is on the east eastbound lane, so you're going to have to trench over to three lanes. So you'll be required to slurry coat and restripe along the frontage to the third lane. So keep that in mind, so check on that. Then also, for impact fees, you will get the credit. You just have to go to the county assessor's office and research what was there in the square footage.
Okay.
And then when you do construct, you do get that credit for that.
I did see, you know, preliminarily when I was getting initially into it, I did see, you know, name of the people that had the property and stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't see exactly what was on it. I think building probably has something, if there was a building on it at any one time.
Yes,
I imagine you'd have something in your files on it.
We should.
And that was my understanding. There was something there at one time.
And if we don't, then you just have to go to the assessor's office and pull that out.
All right. Okay. Well, maybe I can have the civil people, if they want to do more work, check for a
clean
hour or something. I'll hook up somewhere.
Yeah, it is worth it to do that.
Okay.
I just had a question about what kind of freeway site are you proposing?
We're basically looking at, you know, a single pole with
no, I put it on the list.
Okay.
Need more information.
Right. And it is going to be a separate permit.
Okay. And then I was indicating a monument ID on the corner. Is that an issue with anybody?
We need to. My comments are we need to see a sign.
Yeah, right.
Sign program.
But as far as having both signs is offhand, is that? Yeah, we assume we could get a freeway sign and then a monument sign for, you know.
I would have said that that's a good assumption.
Okay.
So we need to see it too.
Yeah.
Any other comments? This item doesn't require an action. It's just a preliminary review. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I'll get some of my cards out here. So.
All right, great.
Next item is pre-application 1509. Travis, would you like to introduce the item, please, when we get a chance?
Just one second. We got plenty of equipment.
Can I get one? Sorry. I'll get you one, Robert.
All right,
thank you. There
you go. All right. Third application, as you mentioned, pre-application 1509. Request to construct a 337,000 square foot industrial building. It's going to be at the corner of Orange Show Road and Lena Road. Property is about 14 and a quarter acres, currently comprised of 15 parcels. They are proposing to do a parcel map as part of this project. It is subject to CEQA, so they will be providing an initial study. And planning has reviewed the application already. For the most part, everything is in conformance with standards. Parking, they are providing more parking than necessary. Landscaping appears to be in compliance. Building heights, setbacks, all of those details. The comments that we are providing on this one is primarily based around providing some additional articulation onto the building and the screen wall, because we do have the truck parking fronting Orange Show. So we're going to be looking for a little more in that. Other than that, as I said, it does meet all the standards as required for this type of project.
Do you have an environmental consultant on board yet?
Yes, we do. T&B Planning.
Okay.
And I think they've been in contact with
Travis. They have reached out to me already.
Okay. Yeah. One of the things that I was telling Travis is, you know, what we'd like is to maybe schedule a meeting before they get started with that, with their initial study, so we can maybe go over their scope of work. Make sure that they're going to address those items that we're looking at, mm-hmm. of particular interest. You know, we're close to the airport. We're within that sphere, mm-hmm. so we'll need to get a they have a simple application process. You know, they just, you know, kind of get their clearance from that, make sure that the building's okay and that sort of thing. It's not,
is that from the IBDA or the airport?
It's directly with the airport.
Okay.
It's not like a airport land use commission kind of process. So don't get scared off. It's administrative.
One of the properties that we purchased is from the IBDA, and we have some agreements with them, so that's why I was asking.
Okay. No, it's just an administrative process for them. And what's new with the CEQA items is the tribal consultation for all the T&B. I'm sure they're aware of that. But just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Laura, do you have anything from land development?
Just a couple. I've already looked at some of your hydrology and all your technical reports from Dana, so I'm almost finished with that. The main thing I want to talk about is Norman Road. Since it is asphalt on native and it's not a thick coat, I'm going to go ahead and have you rehab the whole street, do curb, gutter, and sidewalk. You're going to be required to underground the utilities on Norman Road. And with that...
is it the full width of Norman?
Full width, yeah. Because of the drainage, I'm required to do that, or I'm allowed to do that, pursuant to 19.20 of our development code, mm-hmm. because of the drainage on that.
The curb and gutter was...
Yes, on the south portion, not the north portion. So you're gonna rehab it. What I'm going to do is take the value of the R value of the street. I think it's going to be... I don't have an index, a traffic index for Norman, but I know on Lena it's 7.5. So I'm going to probably, I'll have to work with engineering on that to see what traffic index they have for that, because it is a local street. Mm-hmm. So I know that you are not going to have any trucks on Norman, but you will have traffic on there. So I am going to require that. So. That's the main thing that's going to be costly for you on this project. Lena is already at ultimate. It's already improved. Mm-hmm. All the utilities are already undergrounded, and streetlights are already up. For Norman, they need streetlights. They are on power poles. Once you start improving them and putting the utilities down, the Southern Cal Edison requires you to put the city's poles up.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was confused, I think, when you started. So we were first starting about Norman. That's
we're starting with Norman.
Okay, I thought you were saying Lena, and that was...
No, Lena's already approved.
That's good. I misunderstood you. So
Lena's good. Okay. Norman's the one that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, and then you addressed that at the beginning. I thought you were adding Lena.
No.
I was confused.
But that has, Lena has street lights. Norman does not have street lights. Orange Show, it's fully improved. You already have... pretty much all the street lights and everything on that. The only problem I do have right now is Hillwood across the street was on an assessment district. I don't know what's happening with that. So that's kind of a gray area, whether to put you in that or whether that's going to be waived. So I'm working on your conditions, and I'm not complete because I need some answered in real properties, so it kind of makes my job a little bit harder on everything. So with that, just going through Lena and Orange Show, those two only, if there's anything like the sidewalk, curb, and gutter that's cracked or damaged that needs to be repaired and replaced. And then the main thing I'm really concerned about right now is on Norman. So that's going to be, we're going to go ahead and work on that a little bit closer. Okay. But I think I've already worked with Venus on your right-of-way.
I was going to say, if it's all right, if Paul McCollum is the one that reached out to you during due diligence.
Yeah, I think we worked with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're really good on the what the ultimate road widths are. But other than that, that's Norman's going to be the harder one. And so that's it.
Gary, anything to add?
No, nothing additional.
Not yet. You'll get us at the end.
That's right.
You guys haven't submitted any traffic.
No, that's not part of the TNP scope. We have not submitted any.
The only comment I have is, do you really need these
two driveways. It seems that we have a lot of driveways on Orange Shell within the property. Are these serving the same purpose?
Well, the building is, we'll probably put some spec office in for a single tenant building, but if it's divisible, we would like the functionality to have both those truck access points so that you can secure both yards. And unfortunately, because of the grades here and how we're dealing with the water, we can't connect the truck courts to the parking areas, so you can't combine those drive accesses. So I understand that will probably be subject to the traffic report, but ideally we'd like to keep before we have proposed them. We did line up what will probably be the main drive off of Hillwoods with the existing median cut. That was obviously done on purpose so that they match.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And then, as I said, the automobile parking, unfortunately, is going to come in different locations.
Do you know what the distance between this here and Lena?
It's over what your minimum is. I know that, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I know that we discussed that. Because that was part of the good reason we picked up the IBDA parcel, which is the very northeast corner, because we didn't have enough to put a driveway between Lena and the building. So that driveway...
Oh, here we go. It's 227.
227
feet?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No.
Yeah. Good. Okay, until we see the...
Okay. Yeah, but you're right about the comment about Norman. I mean, we obviously put the building so it's feeding off the Hillwood project across the street in front of Orange Shell. And I think for marketing purposes, that's going to help us. So that's where most of the access point and flow of traffic should be coming off of Orange Shell and Lena.
And I think with the property that you purchased from IBDA, they do have an agreement with the regional traffic fees. And if you do get that waived, I'll look at that. Because pretty much the conditions for impact fees should apply. What was given to Hillwood should apply to you. It's an IBDA.
Okay.
And then I just have to do some research on that. So this is a little bit more of a research of what you have historically and with IBDA. So I have to look at that.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Robert?
Can I get a business card from you? I'm going to hand you a list of our plan check procedures. Also, a copy of our industrial user permit. Do you have a post tenant for this project?
No, it will be built on a speculative basis.
Okay. Then the application will just be completed based on this.
Okay.
Once a tenant is determined, then we'll have a second or a secondary application complete. That's it.
So you have two proposed locations for your trash compactors. I gave you the detail for that.
Okay.
So those locations are fine. We can service. And when it moves forward, they'll have to consider AB 341, commercial recycling. But okay. As far as locations of the compactors, that's really acceptable.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll look at
it. Here. Basically, it's when you get to the point for the formal submittal where we all know we're underneath the California codes. Submittal is separate from us, and I suggest that you contact them as soon as possible with their requirements. They're on 3rd Street, and especially with the transition that they're going through right now, it's very important to seek answers. And they're going to be new heads up with fire. They're going to be asking the location of all hydrants, and they're going to be looking at your entrance and turnarounds for the engine or emergency vehicle. Okay. And it's also in the building code, but we don't have a fire representative here today. San Bernardino is a huge component of the green code, so I want you to look at the non-residential mandatory measures in the green code, and also look at the there's the term called commissioning. Now, commissioning is a written form. You already know that.
Yeah, right? You're talking about the California green code.
Yeah,
yeah.
The commissioning, it, yeah. Anything over 10,000 square feet of having a report on your with your submittal.
Got
all
it.
Right. So I want you to understand that, and. That'll probably be about it. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me on it.
I appreciate it.
Do you have any questions?
I don't.
Okay. Travis, anyone else? Good.
So you're providing your comments, everyone?
I provide those.
No, we're excited. I was just looking before the meeting to make sure I had it right, but it was 11, there's 14 parcels, but 11 different property owner assemblage, so we're excited to have that part of it closed and moving forward, because that was a battle. And if anybody asks, the very southeast corner of that Nada Park, there's two parcels there that we talked about with the IBDA, because they really wanted to be a part of it. One is the county water department, which is a small sliver, and I'm sure nobody else would have a use for it, but in between that and us is an owner that just is resistant to sell. He wants a lot of money for his house, and of course it just was something we couldn't get. So it would be nice to have it, but we've worked around it.
Yeah.
This item doesn't require action. It's for preliminary review. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any comments for the good of the order? At that point, we'll be adjourned until the October the 22nd here at 10 a.m. We're adjourning here at 10:47. Thank you.